Welcome to Reinventing Nerds. Dr. Joni Cannell shares communication strategies for technical people. She shares her own stories of learning to communicate and brings in other nerds and experts to show you how to interact with people in a way that's comfortable for you. And now, here's your host, the uniquely qualified engineer turned psychologist, Dr. Joni Cannell.
Hello, and welcome to Reinventing Nerds. Today we have a wonderful guest named Rich Uhmel. He is the CEO, yes, there we go. Hey, he's the CEO of SageTree, and SageTree provides web design, development, and marketing. Rich is an interesting background, which we're going to get into right away. He has a degree in mechanical engineering from University of California, San Diego. But his first job out of college was as a webmaster, and he's been doing that ever since. And he even has his own company now that does this. So let's welcome Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hi, how's it going, Joni?
All right, how are you?
I am great, thanks.
That's great. I want to know, I mean, we were just chatting before the show here a little bit about you being a mechanical engineer and then going into web design. And I held off because I wanted the listeners to hear your story, but I'm on the edge of my seat. Tell us how that happened and, you know, what that was like.
Oh, yeah, sure. So I was a mechanical engineering student at UC San Diego, and I had a minor in visual arts. And, you know, with the mechanical engineering degree, that was fine. I was able to do it. But then, you know, I was spent all my time. My hobbies were really computers and also graphics and arts. You know, I was also the graphic artist for the school newspaper and such. And so when I first got a job as a webmaster at a local software company, that was great. That was a perfect job for me because it kind of married those two passions of mine, computers and art. So I was a webmaster. I was making web pages where I had to, you know, kind of like build these technical solutions through this, you know, this new medium that was really growing. And then you also had to have an element of graphic design background to make things look good. And so from there, that's how I got into web development, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, the artistic side of graphic design is just, I mean, that's so much about putting together a good website, also knowing what works and perhaps what's visually appealing to people as well, right? I mean, you have to know a little bit about that. Yeah, I mean, like no red font on purple background or something, I don't know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, okay, so you went from mechanical engineering to web design and you, all of a sudden you make it make sense. Right. You know, the way you put it.
Yeah.
Oh, right. We got that. So how did you come to starting a company and being the CEO of SageTree? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the company that I was working for was a defense contractor. We were doing software solutions for like the DoD and SPAWAR and such. And that was a really great opportunity for me because we got to build a lot of really cool stuff with like the latest and greatest technologies, right? But unfortunately, the space that I was in, a lot of it was more for demonstration, like proof of concept type projects, and it wouldn't actually be used. And so I started freelancing in the commercial space. And then that, for me, that was very fulfilling for me because like the solutions that I provided, you know, the customers were using, you know, as soon as I pushed it into production, and then they were, you know, they were making money with it, growing their businesses with it, you know, running marketing campaigns and such with it. And so it was really fulfilling for me. And then 2005, I finally made the decision to switch over to just, you know, going off and being an independent contractor, freelancing, basically. And so I did that for a couple of years, and then just the volume of work, I started just, you know, working my way up the food chain, getting bigger clients, bigger projects. And then I think it was like 2008 and 2009, that's when I started adding people to the team. And then, yeah, that's when we became, you know, I guess a full-fledged company. You've got all the business stuff you have to take care of, like, you know, like insurance and all those other things you don't really think about when you're just freelancing, you know, out of your house and such.
Sounds like you're due for a 10-year anniversary celebration this year. Yeah, if it really started in 2008. I mean, I don't know when you incorporated, but
yeah,
that's a big deal. Wow. So you've been doing this for a while then.
Yep. So, you know, we're a small team, but we get to work on some really cool projects and work with some cool clients. You know, we've done some work for some of the bigger companies around town, like Viasat and Qualcomm. Probably our most notorious client is Comic-Con, and that's been a lot of fun over the years. We've been helping them out with their website. I always have to preface it. It's the website, not the ticketing. So everybody always has something to say about how difficult it is to get that. That's been a lot of fun. I've been really excited to have that as a client. That was pretty amazing. You know, coming from, you know, I used to collect comic books when I was growing up, and you know, landing them as a client was pretty amazing for me.
I can imagine. Wow, we were just at a Comic-Con event in New York City this weekend.
Oh, you were at it?
Yeah, we went to Doctor Who. There was just one event. We couldn't get tickets to get in because, you know, that ticketing website. No, I'm just kidding. Because it's just hard to get tickets to something people love. But
yeah, for sure.
It was a lot of fun, and there were people walking all around town dressed up. So it was good.
Oh, that must have been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
wow.
Really cool.
That's just so much fun to have great clients too as a part of your business. Is that something you seek out, or is that something that, you know, they come to you, or how do you find a client like Comic-Con?
So they actually found us. You know, we built a reputation around having really strong expertise around this Drupal content management system. And, you know, when they first called us, you know, we got a phone call. It's like, hey, we're looking for somebody to help us with, you know, this Drupal website, you know, what's SageTree all about? What do you guys do? How do you guys work? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, who is this? And it's like, oh, we can't really tell you right now. But, yeah, tell us about yourselves. And so we thought that was kind of mysterious. And so after, like, a phone call or two, they decided, like, okay, you know, I think, you know, we guys like you enough to tell you who we are, and it's Comic-Con, and everybody on the team was like, what? What's going on? You know, nerds or technical people, they tend to be in the similar demographics that appeal to Comic-Con. So.
Okay. All right. So we're going to get to that, because I have a couple questions I want to get there first.
Sure.
But, you know, dealing with nerds as customers too, or clients. But first of all, one thing that I've noticed is that you call yourself a website therapist. And, you know, being a psychologist, I had to ask you, you know, what's a website therapist? And how can people have a better relationship with their websites? So yeah, what is that?
That's awesome. That's cool. So for me, you know, a lot of times when we engage with clients is, they're in a state of distress. You know, their website is not doing what it needs to be doing. And maybe the project that they're working on has gone way over budget, way over schedule. And that's why they're having a really poor relationship. Or if it's already in production, maybe things just take too long to be done. Or if they have new tasks or requests, modifications they want to make to their current website, it just takes too long. And so I was thinking about it, and there's really kind of like three things that I think that's important to be able to have a good relationship with your website, right?
Okay.
So the first one is have a good relationship with your vendor, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be somebody that you could talk to, somebody that takes the time to understand your business as well as your industry. Because each business, each industry is unique, and you know, within each industry, each business is unique. You know, how they go to market and how they message and how they reach out to people. So that's really important. Just find somebody that you can have a good relationship, that communicates well with you, and that you know, you can have a good personal relationship with, right? Somebody that's transparent. You know, the way we approach it is, you know, we try to educate our clients as much as they're open to being educated, because, you know, it's technology, and then like with technology, I can go off all day and keep on talking about the different things around what you can do and different types of things. But, you know, But sometimes the clients, they just need the, you know, the bottom line. And so it's like whatever level that they're open to engaging at, we try to provide them with what they need to know. So that's one. The second one is pick the right type of vendor, right? This is the other thing that we've seen, is that there's kind of like three categories within the types of vendors that companies will engage in. First, usually it starts off with a freelancer, which is great. You know, they're relatively expensive. That's a great way to get started. But as your company grows, you might need different specialists, because now to host a professional website, it encompasses a lot of different specialties, not just, you know, the coding side, there's the design, making sure that the website's responsive, looks good on phones and tablets as well as desktops, content strategy, language, messaging. There's a lot of different disciplines that go into making it. And so usually that's when companies graduate to like a smaller agency where they have more of those types of service to help your business grow. And then, you know, once you get past that, then you're looking at, like one of those big agencies that these Fortune 500 companies typically engage in. So it's important to pick the right type of vendor. What I've seen is that as companies scale up, you know, they start off with a freelancer or like a really small agency that just doesn't have the expertise or the experience to help them scale up. And that's usually when we get called in to help make that next phase of growth with their website. And then the other thing is, the last one is just, I think this is just with anything, is just have clear goals. The more specific, the better. In our projects, you know, when there's ambiguous items, those typically tend to be the expensive ones, because you have to do the discovery, and then, you know, it can be really time consuming and resource consuming if you don't have a really clear vision on what results that you want. And so the clearer that those results, those goals are, the easier time you'll have with your website. The other thing that is important, though, like sometimes you don't know. It's because you're not a technologist. Mm-hmm. But what we do also is just we'll have like some sessions or workshops where we do a discovery, where we can help set reasonable goals for what they can expect. Because sometimes, you know, clients, you know, they're not digital specialists or digital gurus or anything. They don't know what's possible. And so engaging in a discovery process kind of helps, can help identify, you know, clear, reasonable goals, so they don't have, you know, unrealistic expectations.
Well, so one thing I'm hearing from you is that, you know, obviously you need to be able to speak in their language to be heard by them, but you need to help them speak your language too. I mean, if they don't have goals, if they don't know what they want, and you need to help them figure that out, or yes, just go hands off and let you take the lead on that. But it's kind of an interesting yep. thing is helping them understand what they need to know to be able to get what they want, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's one of the things that I had to learn. That was part of my learning process. Was I had to learn to translate. You know, coming from, you know, mechanical engineering and then a programming background, software development. Now I would use a lot of acronyms, terms, Java, UML,
yes,
all these acronyms that when I started talking to clients about, you know, their eyes would just glaze over, and then, you know, they were just completely like disengaged, because I wasn't speaking in something that they understood. And so so it's really important to, you know, when you talk to clients or new leads or whatnot, pretend you're talking to your grandma, you know, basically, And so you can talk in a language that they understand. You have to really try to be empathetic to your customer or your client's experience, you know, and use terms that would be familiar to them. Also, another thing that is an important skill is to be a vocabulary detective, a vocabulary sleuth, right? This is one of the things that I've kind of developed, because, you know, clients, they don't know the proper names for all the different types of things that you can do on the web or in my industry, right? And so they'll pick terms and they'll use it. And so you have to really listen carefully. How do they use it? And then make sure that, you know, you may have to translate it. Okay, when they use this term, they're really referring to, this other item. And so you have to really be a good listener and try to figure out, you know, just make sure that when you're talking about terms, because it can completely, you guys can be talking about something using the same term, but, you know, they mean totally completely different things. And so that's one of the
important things. That sounds like reflecting back in there, you know, to ensure that you understand what they mean and using different words. And then they'll say something like, yeah, or no, I meant this. And then all of a sudden you'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, that's an important skill to have. And don't assume because you're using the same terms that you're right, because, you know, the client's the one that's paying the bills.
Yeah. Oh, that's good too. So when they have a term, you just work with it and redefine it.
Redefine it and then just work with them, either educate them or just, like, you know, have a mental note that, okay, when they say this, they really mean this.
You know? Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Now that sounds really interesting. Even though you're saying the same words, they can mean really different things, especially to people who aren't in that expertise. They just see something and they think that I'm certainly guilty of that. But, you know, you just pick something up and you think you know what you're talking about. But
Yep.
Wow.
For sure. So,
you know, one of the other things that I wanted to ask you about is this, you said empathetic to their situation, and you started out by saying you're a web therapist in terms of people starting out with their distress. So how do you bring empathy into that? And that seems like an emotional part as well as just understanding the words.
So I think those are part of the soft skills that I needed to develop. Like for me, you know, coming from that background in software engineering, where it's very kind of like binary. It's like on or off.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, okay, this person's having a some kind of problem. Okay, this is the solution. Let's do it. You know, where sometimes with people, that's too jarring. And so, you know, with our clients is, you know, I try to understand. Well, I also invested some time in actually just like learning about, you know, business. And usually the type of people that we deal with are business owners or marketing directors or marketing vice presidents. And so just learning about the different types of challenges and things that they wrestle with, so I can empathize with them and understand their motivations, really helps. And just, you know, expressing that, okay, yeah, I could really understand how a particular issue or particular problem is very distressing or creates a lot of, you know, stress for them. Mm-hmm. And then understanding that and empathizing that, it helps you develop that relationship. So you build that trust and that trust that you understand where they're coming from. And then you'll have an easier time communicating. Okay, so this is the problem. There's a couple of ways that we could, you know, get to a better place. You know, there's a gap here, you know, we're here. There's some things that aren't working the way they should, you know, and there's a couple of different paths that we could take to get you into a better place.
Okay. No, that makes sense. So that I mean, I love it the way you said that you actually took it as an investment of time to learn about the kind of issues that they're experiencing so that you can understand them and then be able to speak to them and with empathy.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you talk a little bit about different challenges that you run into. Let's start out with the customers here that going on in that. Well, you know, you have a group of people. You're not the only one who's interacting with your clients, right? So what kind of things come up for the engineers in general in terms of some of the soft skills that they've needed to learn?
So I think some of it is, where do I start? Let's see. A couple of those things that there's learning the vocabulary, learning to listen to make sure that you're talking about the same thing. That's been really important. One other thing that I think that served me really well is to learn to not take things personally, right? A lot of times, you know, when people are stressed out, they come to you and they're expressing what's happening, and they may be heated, and then sometimes it can be really you know, emotional, and it can get you kind of flustered. But then one of the things is to have the awareness to understand if you're starting to feel kind of like triggered and getting caught into it. So, you know, take a step back and really try to listen for the message. The communication, you know, what's the underlying message that they're trying to communicate? Are they, you know, are they unhappy with the performance? Are they unhappy with the way they might have been treated? Or how, you know, an expectation might have not been met, and then that way, you know, you can respond from a level-headed perspective, which is I think a benefit, you know, because like when you work with somebody, you want them, you know, you're hiring somebody to be professional, and that's really helped. The other thing that I think is really important to understand when it comes to communication that I've also communicated with team is the different levels of communication, right? Like face-to-face,
right,
is the highest level of communication because you get the message, the voice, the tone, the emotion, then also there's the body language, right? And so you really understand where that person's coming from, right? And then from there, you know, it might go to something like this video, which is I think pretty awesome because you still get the body language, a video chat, and then phone calls, and then email, right? And one of the things that I made a mistake with was relying too heavily on email when I first started. I thought it was so cool. I never had to talk to these people, these clients, and I get paid. That's so cool. But then when I started getting into, like, email's the worst. If there's an important type of communication, email is the worst way to communicate because so much can be read into the words in the message. And then, you know, I remember this one customer, I was working with their IT guy, and it seemed like every email message he was just like challenging my expertise. And I found it a little bit insulting, and then, you know, and I was getting really heated until finally I just gave him a call, and it was really congenial. I was like, oh, hey, yeah, I was just wondering if we could just do this, this, and this. And it was like so – it was kind of funny because there was so much energy and emotion on my side, whereas, like, you know, I should have just called the guy first rather than just getting all this worked up and just, like, working on revising an email response, like, 12 times just to, you know, craft it perfect. Like, oh, what a waste of time, you know?
Oh, so that's interesting. So it's like a waste of time. Also, you know, you're getting into like a really mismatched communication there because you're thinking he's challenging you and he's just saying, hey, I have these great ideas kind of thing.
Yeah. I was, you know, and so if it's anything important or anything where you know, I'd say at least give a phone call so you could at least get the voice, you know. And tone and emotion behind that, which is kind of funny because, like, being a technologist, you know, now we live in a world where everything's over email or text or Twitter or whatnot. where, you know, the written word, there's a lot of ways that can be misinterpreted, you know, which I think contributes to why, you know, we have things called flame wars, you know?
Yeah, no, that you're preaching to the choir here, because that's one of my things that I do is help virtual teams communicate better. And yeah, picking up the phone is the first thing. Like, just like you said, you can avoid so much misunderstanding. And it also just warms things up usually, because people realize there's a person on the other end, you know, when you're talking to a human, as opposed to just, like you said, the sort of flaming into the space of the ether.
Absolutely.
Is there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, well, you know, let me think about this. I have a couple other questions. I mean, you're talking a bit about sales, and
Okay. You
talk right now sort of about the customer service side and interacting with customers, but also you have to persuade people, you know, mm-hmm. or sell items. So what's been your secret there? I mean, you've talked to me about some of this audience-centric communications and things like that. How do you describe what you've had to learn to do to be in that position?
So I think what is really just reflecting back, you know, that you understand where the client's coming, because, you know, ultimately it's just, yeah, I think it's the human condition, right? People just want to be understood, you know, mm-hmm. And that you understand where they're coming from, and that you have a solution to get them from, you know, from point A to point B. You know, you can help them, guide them on a journey that will get them into a better place. And that's been really, it's not super secret or super right. complicated. It's just, you know, and try to make sure you understand what they want, and just reflect that to them, you know, show them the path to, you know, solve their problem, you know, just be a problem solver.
You know, I love the way you say that, Rich, because you're like, hey, you know, this isn't that complicated, really. I mean, people make it out to be so complicated. People want to be understood and listen to them to understand what they want, right? I mean,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny that we sit there and overcomplicate things. And sometimes it's the action of actually being present, I think, is what you're saying, and really trying to hear what they're saying. And perhaps that motivation. Rather than to be spewing out information to them, to tell them what you have to offer, is really finding out what they want. Yeah, that sounds like a really different approach.
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be. But I mean, that's the thing, that one of the things, I forget where I read it, but like people do business. I think it was from Zig Ziglar book or something. But basically, people do business with people that they like. And so how do you make people like you? Just, you know, communicate, relate, you know, be in a relationship with them, you know, empathize, you know.
Yeah. I mean, also just talking about the relationship, you said that several times during this conversation about really thinking of it as a relationship. And relationships take work, they take energy, and they take a lot of communication and trying to understand the other person. I mean, I can say that after being married for a very long time, that there have, even now, you know, you think you can you know, finish someone's sentences for them, but no.
No, like, don't do that. No.
Absolutely.
Just wait and be patient, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Huh.
Cool.
So, you know, one of the things I want to ask you about too is because you've talked about moving from mechanical engineering to web design, and moving into having a staff and working with customers or clients. But what about as a leader of your team? What kind of issues have come up with you there in terms of the soft skills? I mean, have you had to go out and learn areas there to manage your folks, or are they the same kind of things that you've been talking about already?
To some element, yeah, there's those elements that are kind of infused, you know, throughout my experience. As being a leader, I think one of the painful lessons that I've learned is that my team members aren't mind readers. You know, when I see a problem, And I talk to a client and see the problem. And I think in my head, okay, that's great. We could do it, you know, this way, this way, this way. And solve the problem. And then when I have to communicate, you know, with my team, it's like, yeah, we'll solve it this way and we'll be good. Right. And then, earlier I would kind of have that expectation that my team could be my mind, and I'd get frustrated why they would do things wrong and why it would take longer and why they would, you know, do it one way that I was totally not expecting them to. And so just it just takes more effort to communicate your vision and the way you want things implemented. And that's also the other thing that is important, is to keep it simple, right?
Right.
You know, like with our clients and the things that we, you know, when we engage with them, we try to figure out like what's the smallest number of moving parts that we can build or use to solve the problem, because, you know, more parts, more complexity, more conversations that need to be held. And so that's I think that's one of the key things that for people that are moving to the leadership positions, just spend time on communicating the vision on how you want certain things done. What are the results that you want generated, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, you said a lot of really interesting things, Rich. If our listeners or viewers want to get in touch with you or SageTree, what's the best way?
Oh yeah, just hit us up on our website, sagetree.com, or they can just email me, rich@sagetree.com too. So it's really easy.
Keeping it simple.
Yeah, keep it simple. Yeah, could I use your podcast to promote a couple of things that we're involved with?
Yeah, sure.
That'd be all right. Cool. So one of the things that we're involved with is the San Diego STEM ecosystem. It's at sdstemecosystem.org. So if you or your organization is involved with STEM activities and you want to get more people, more awareness for it, I'd really encourage you to register as a partner and share your events and opportunities on the website. It's sdstemecosystem.org. And then another seasonal thing, now that we're getting ready for the holidays, is another cause that we support is Toys for Joy, which is done through the Rock Church. It's toys-for-joy.org. It's a really great event that blesses a lot of families all over San Diego. And so if you're interested, I'd really encourage you to check out the website and volunteer, donate, and partner with them to really make a lot of families' holidays happy. So,
oh, this is great. Wow, what an inspiration you are to actually be promoting these organizations as well, and not just your own. So thank you for that. Well, this has been really interesting. I mean, the time has flown by, Rich. You have really said some interesting things for our listeners and viewers. I mean, all about being able to communicate, I think, is so much about what you've talked about today in the various domains of working with clients, working with your team. And I think the key that you've said so much is listen to understand where they're coming from, what they're experiencing, and what they want, right?
Yeah.
And with your team, also helping them understand what you want, right, in terms of being a leader. Yeah. Wow. Awesome. So thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was neat.
Well, and thanks to our listeners and for Reinventing Nerds. Please, if you like the show, please rate and review it. If you didn't like it, email me or call me and let me know what I can do differently. And thanks a lot for being here, and have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Reinventing Nerds and encourage you to apply what you learned to help you communicate better. For a free consultation with Joni to see how she can help you further, please visit reinventingnerds.com. Until then, embrace your inner nerd and remain true to yourself while you develop your communication strategies.